Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. And yeah, it's kind of a holiday because it's time for us to take a fall break, a Thanksgiving break, both. We're actually taking two. It's because of crazy things, a two-week thing is going to be needed. But don't worry, there's other stuff. You think that just cutting room floor stuff? We've got all kinds of stuff we've never gotten around to releasing because we're total slacker. I mean, because we've been waiting for the right... That's it. Hi, everybody. I'm just going to stop babbling and tell you that we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com on this November 22nd, and that the folks that'll be bringing this show to you this fine day, well, the gentleman right there, he knows what counts. That's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Brett, are you attending Proof Our Preparatory School? I'm impressed.
You should be. My IQ has been measured in the upper double digits.
Nice. Hi, everybody. I'm ready for the weekend. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Rex Dart, Eskimo spy.
Know the secret handshake. It helps. What happened, sir?
In 1809, the first patent issued in the U.S. for a metallic writing pen is issued to Peregrine Williamson, a Baltimore jeweler. The pens are made of steel rolled from wire, set with a steel quill that never needs its nib to be sharpened.
1899, The Marconi Wireless Company of America is incorporated in New Jersey.
1904, the first direct current electric motor to be patented in the U.S. is issued to Matthias Pfaster of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
1906, the International Radio Telegraphic Convention in Berlin adopts the Morse code representation of the letters SOS as a universal distress signal. The previous one was CQD, which was CQ plus D for distress, which was come quickly, distress, which doesn't have the same ring to it.
I always preferred come quickly, damn it.
Exactly.
1932, the first U.S. patent for a computer-controlled gasoline pump is issued to inventors Robert J. Jauch, Ivan R. Farnham, and Ross H. Arnold. The liquid dispensing apparatus meters fluids while displaying the exact amount in gallons dispensed.
Because before that, it was just a pump like you see with the water. 1946, J. Presper Eckert and John Mulkey leave the University of Pennsylvania's Moore School of Electrical Engineering, where they had developed ENIAC, the first digital computer, after a dispute arose over the right to their intellectual property in regards to it. Irvin Travis, head of the research of the Moore School, had requested that they relinquish the patents they developed while at the school. Later, they'll develop UNIVAC, the first general-purpose business computer, while the school loses its position as a national leader in computer science, and they go, ha-ha.
1953, the first commercially sponsored TV series to be broadcast in NTSC color, the Colgate Comedy Hour, premieres.
1966, a USSR chess program begins a correspondence match with a Kotek McCarthy MIT chess program, the first computer capable of playing chess convincingly. It is the first game of chess ever played between two computers. The match will last 9 months and be won by the Soviet computer 3-1.
Wow. 1969, the lunar module of Apollo 12, which was launched on November 14th, lands on the southeastern Oceanus Procellarum region of the moon.
1984, 20th Century Fox releases the comedy film Revenge of the Nerds, directed by Jeff Canoe, starring Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards, Timothy Busfield, Curtis Armstrong, Ted McGinley, Bernie Casey, and John Goodman. And yeah, that one scene, but otherwise it's fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn from that movie. And a lot of things not to do. 1985, John Sculley of Apple Computers and Bill Gates of Microsoft sign a licensing agreement permitting Microsoft royalty-free use of the visual characteristics of the Macintosh for Windows 1.0.
1989, Universal Pictures released the science fiction film Back to the Future Part D, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson, Thomas F. Wilson, and not Crispin Glover.
It
just turned upside down. It looked like the same guy. It's fine.
Ultimate irony. It was Michael J. Fox all along. 1995, Buena Vista Pictures Distribution releases the animated film Toy Story, directed by John Lasseter and featuring the voice talents of Tom Hanks and Tim Allen. Pixar will go on to re-release Toy Story, known as Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3, Toy Story 4. There's no difference in the plots. Don't at me. You know I'm right.
1996, Bandai releases the original Tamagotchi virtual keychain size pet in Japan.
3 months later, they're all dead. Same day, same year, Nintendo announces that it has achieved a 62% share of the next generation game market in the U.S. The data backing the claim is derived from the Nintendo 64's video game system's first 6 weeks sales figures.
They also included sales figures from Super Nintendo, which some people said that's not fair.
Same day, same year, Paramount Pictures releases Star Trek First Contact, directed by Jonathan Frakes, starring Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner, LeVar Burton, Michael Dorn, Gates McFadden, Marina Sirtis, Alfred Warder, James Cromwell, and Alice Creege.
It is also the best of the next-gen movies.
Yeah.
I will fight you. 20th Century Fox releases the science fiction film Independence Day, directed by Roland Emmerich and starring Jeff Goldblum, Will Smith, Bill Pullman, Margaret Colin, Vivica A. Fox, Judd Hirsch, Mary McConnell, Robert Loggia, and Randy Quaid. Look, it's a damn good movie, and it has the best presidential speech in history.
1997, Eidos Interactive releases the third-person shooter Tomb Raider 2 for the PlayStation in the U.S. You already know what I'm going to say next.
The first human drowning simulator. 1999, a class action lawsuit is filed in San Francisco Superior Court by attorney Joseph Savary of Leaf, Cabracer, Hyman, and Bernstein, LLP, against the Microsoft Corporation on behalf of all customers who bought Windows 95 and 98 operating systems, specifically from Microsoft, between August 1st, 1995 and the present. Not now, but then present. The suit alleges that the company overcharges consumers for the operating systems, joining other suits in Alabama, Louisiana, Ohio, and other states.
Same day, same year, AOL and EA announce a five-year strategic relationship to create and deliver online interactive comment for AOL properties, and we all know how well AOL EA went.
Well, they went bankrupt just sending out all those damn discs. Professor Chenming Hu at the University of California, Berkeley, announces a new semiconductor transistor that can now hold 400 times more than its previous capacity. The new prototype is called FinFET, with the new gate sizes 18 nanometers long, about the width of 100 atoms. It's incredibly important because it is what has moved computing not only to smaller sizes, but also to faster processing speeds.
2000, Touchstone Pictures releases Unbreakable, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, Robert Wright Penn, Spencer Treat Clark, and whoa, was that movie good.
Yeah, slow, but worth it. 2002, Lisa Chan, a 52-year-old Taiwanese woman who pleads no contest in one of the largest software piracy cases in the history of the U.S. She's sentenced to 9 years in prison, one of the longest sentences ever for a case involving software piracy.
Same day, same year, Midway releases Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance for the Game Boy Advance, GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox in the U.S. Midway declares it Fatality Friday!
Good marketing. 2005, Activision releases the first-person shooter Quake 4 for the Xbox 360.
You know, that's the same day, actually, that Microsoft releases the Xbox 360 video game system in North America.
You know, fun fact. Also, same day that they launched the Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, my God. But then 1 year later, on the same day, Microsoft says, hey, let's do high-definition displays.
Seems like it's been both a good year and a bad year for Microsoft.
Right?
A good day and bad day throughout history for Microsoft. Also, United States Librarian of Congress James H. Billington announces the approval of 6 new exemptions to U.S. copyright law.
And like 5 of them were for Disney. 2009, News Corp Chair Rupert Murdoch initiates discussions with Microsoft to have control of the Wall Street Journal delisted. Oh, not control. Content of the Wall Street Journal delisted from the Bing search engine. Birthdays?
Louis.
I have no idea how to say that.
Louis Cravallo, 19, Moana.
Catherine McNamara's 24. That's Paige in Maze Runner. She was in Transformers Rescue Bots, Shadowhunters.
Jamie Campbell Bauer, 31, from Sweeney Todd, Kaus in Twilight, and Deathly Hallows.
Scarlett Johansson is 35, from Ghost World, Black Widow in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Hitchcock, Lucy, Jungle Book, Ghost in the Shell. She probably doesn't want me to tell you that one.
It's amazing. And also, Third Rock from the Sun.
True.
But it's amazing that she is only 35. She's one of those gals that's been around forever. That's fantastic. Sean Fanning, 39, founded Napster.
It was Seth Green. Mark Ruffalo is 52, from Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Zodiac, and Hulk in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Great voice. Michael K. Williams, 53, from Trapped in a Closet, The Wire, Incredible Hulk, RoboCop, and Purge Anarchy, as well as Ghostbusters.
Mads Mikkelsen is 54, from Casino Royale, Clash of the Titans, Hannibal, Rogue One. There was a bunch before that, but most of it was Swedish films that I have on HD DVD. Don't ask why.
And of course, you can also see him in Death Stranding right now.
Oh, true.
Mariel Hemingway, 58. Personal best, Superman 4, In the Line of Fire. I think a handful of magazines my dad had.
Eddie Fearson is 60, from Wreck-It Ralph, Hotel Transylvania, The Princess and the Frog, Paranorman, Curious George, and Tangled.
Wow, I like almost all of those. The very lovely and talented and still foxy Jamie Lee Curtis is 61. From Halloween, Trading Places, A Fish Called Wanda, True Lies, Freaky Friday, Scream Queens, and that upcoming Knife movie.
Don't forget she was just in Halloween.
Oh, that's right.
Richard Kind is 63 from Mad About You, Stargate, Spin City, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, Toy Story 3, which apparently is exactly like 2 and 1 and 4.
You know, everybody always forgets to say when they forget to mention when I was the sexiest man alive.
Tom Conti, 78, from Dark Knight Rises and Paddington 2.
Roy Thomas is 79, that's Stan Lee's first successor as editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, also wrote Conan, X-Men, and Avengers Comics.
Born this day no longer with us in 1897, Harry Wilson from the 1936 Flashback. Wizard of Oz, Them, Ocean's 11, Robin, and the Seven Hoods.
1921, Mr. Rodney Dangerfield from Caddyshack, Back to School, Ladybugs, Natural Born Killers, and Little Nicky.
Only one of those. He didn't really get much respect at all. 1924, Geraldine Page from The Rescuers and The Bride.
1932, Robert Vaughn from The Magnificent Seven, Man from U.N.C.L.E., Demon Seed, Superman 3, Chud 2, Basketball, Pootie Tang, and of course made all kinds of people hate Marks and Harrison.
Is that the lawyer company?
Yeah.
Nice. CBS, we've got a new Hawaii 5-0, Magnum P.I. and Blue Bloods.
ABC, it's a new American Housewife. They're fresh off the boat, 2020. And that's all I got.
We have NBC has the new Blacklist and Dateline FXX.
Over on Fox, it's a new WWE Friday Night Smackdown.
CW, man. Is Kermit the Frog going to be doing a run-in? I'm hoping.
Yeah, man.
See, look, I'm going to take you out back, and I'm going to take you down, and I'm going to put you in. CW Maggie partners with Abby as they take on an unlikely enemy on a new Charmed and Dynasty.
Wait, do you smell what the frog is cooking?
Freeform has Shrek, not a new episode. That's not true.
I'm going to take you to the Hop Down Hotel.
FX has Spider-Man Homecoming.
FXX The Simpsons, I'm dancing as fat as I can. 101 mitigations and woohoo, done it.
FXM has Wolf of Wall Street. Not sure what they're going to do with the other hour and 45 minutes of that two-hour block.
Concept at all. BBC America has Silence of the Lambs.
Sippy, no I in team on a new Van Helsing.
Turner Classic Movies, Soylent Green! I won't give it away, but there's a very special ingredient in Soylent Green.
Yeah, I wonder how many foods are going to be advertising during that. TBS has Beauty and the Beast. Not sure which one.
Didn't someone make one of these beef substitutes and they called it Soylent? And I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? Science Channel, the lost treasure of Dutch Schultz on a mission declassified. Good for Murdoch. Good for him.
No, that's Dwight.
Oh, Dwight. I see.
VH1 has
So
Plain.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman wakes to discover she's been in a coma after an accident and is suffering from mild amnesia. Events have been wiped from her brain, including just eloping and marrying the handsome man at her side. And they decide to continue their honeymoon trip, driving to a tech-free resort, which was their destination before the accident. He tells her to think of it as a new beginning, but soon his overly possessive nature emerges. He starts pressuring her to have a vow renewal ceremony, and eventually the question rises, is he really her husband? And if not, who is he? Carissa Lee Staples and Matthew Cohen star in His Secret Marriage.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Quality control supervisor Rafe spends his days monitoring the intricacies of his tech support staff's telephone conversations, which makes some people think of him as like sort of a deuce. But he just loves to listen. After he loses his young son in a horrible tragedy, he slowly comes to realize his sense of hearing has taken on extraordinary capabilities that could drive him insane. Whenever sound becomes excruciating, he resorts to violence to try and silence the noise in his head. To make it stop, he must be a honcho of panic, an expert of fright, a true ace of dread. Hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, I know there's not, because everyone is pouring through trying to figure out what these clues are that some folks are talking about. And since you've got a good 2 weeks to figure it out, I believe in you. Once you do, drop us a note and tell us about your Thanksgiving favorites. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could just send us a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
Green bean casserole sucks.
The Ideas Start Here podcast is a science-based, informative, entertaining view on immunizations and general health-related topics, featuring me, your host, Jack Mankin. Subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or listen directly on your phone, computer, or any other device from the website www.stchealth.com.
Looks like you got the flu. Looks like you just got the flu.
The Ideas Start Here podcast.
Hey, this is Joel Hodson. I'm the creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, but you probably remember me as comic magician spy Agent J. And you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. But don't give his cover away. He might have to come do something about it.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
But of course they do, and now's the time to go out there and see what it was they did. What are we going to be seeing, yo?
In limited release, we have a group of astronauts living in the haunted emptiness of deep space. They awake to find Earth has suffered an extinction-level event. John Suits, Omar Epps, and the gal who's probably blogging everything, Miranda Cosgrove, in 3022.
Is that a Cloverfield thing? Nationwide release, a disgraced detective in the NYPD is given a shot at redemption, thrust into a citywide manhunt for a cop killer. He begins to uncover a massive conspiracy that links his fellow cops to a criminal empire and must decide who he is hunting and who is actually hunting him. During the manhunt, Manhattan is completely locked down for the first time in history. No exit or entry to the island, including all 17 bridges. Matthew Michael Canahan, Anne Hathaway, Mark Ruffalo, and of course Chadwick Boseman star in 21 bridges. So where are the other four?
You know what? Those bridges are the friendship that bridges between people in there.
I figured they were counting Todd.
Oh, fair enough. Why was Elsa born with magical powers?
Because.
What truths about the past await Elsa as she ventures into the unknown to the enchanted forests and dark seas beyond Arendelle?
Green bean casserole sucks.
The answers are calling her, much like tossed salad and scrambled eggs, but also threatening her kingdom. Together with Anna, Kristoff, Olaf, and Sven, she'll face a dangerous but remarkable journey. Kristen Bell, Josh Gad, Jason Ritter, and Adele Dazeem as Idina Menzel star in Too Fast, Too Frozen.
A timely story of kindness triumphing over cynicism based on the true story of real-life friendship between Fred Rogers and journalist Tom Junod. After a jaded magazine writer is assigned a profile of Fred Rogers, he overcomes his skepticism, learning about empathy, kindness, and decency from America's most beloved neighbor, who never was a Marine sniper. Tom Hanks, Matthew Rhys, and Chris Cooper star in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
And I tell you, if you don't think the fight scene is one of the best, just stick around for the sex scene. It is amazing. Speaking of stories of misplaced skepticism, tune into Sven Gulli on MeTV this Saturday. He has the tale of a strange prehistoric beast that lurks in the depths of the Amazonian jungle. A group of scientists try to capture the animal and bring it back to civilization for study. It's the tale of Beauty and the Beast for spooky kids. Witness Julie Adams, Richard Carlson, and the epic creature design of Millicent Patrick, not Bud Westmore. See Uncle Gilbert in 1954's Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Lil Monsters, the other version, the one directed by Abe Forsyth, Abe is making a new RoboCop movie called RoboCop Returns, but it's not part of the remake universe. In fact, it's joining the trend of being a direct sequel to the very first RoboCop film.
Wait, they're removing ninjas and jetpacks from the RoboCop canon?
No great crime there. Two RoboCop sequels are gone, but they weren't that good, so who the hell cares? Okay, in fairness, the ninjas were kind of fun. Forsyth's Little Monsters is a comedy, and for all the blood and violence, RoboCop was always pretty damn funny. So maybe this is the exact person needed to cobble together something thought-provoking, loud, a little silly. Maybe it is a gory capitalist satire about a twisted cop in search of his identity.
I'll buy that for a dollar!
It'll be interesting to see the old RoboCop outfit doing things in the modern special effects era and not that whatever the hell they used in the remake. If nothing else, it'll be nice to see a RoboCop return to his roots.
Will he still help Sting defeat the Four Horsemen?
Sometimes we just have to start over, from scratch, to make things right. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to build a brand new city where Detroit now stands, an example to the world. Patience. We're only human.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. The book, not the movie.
Or the novelization of the movie based on the book.
Has been adapted so often that we're all very familiar with how it goes. Even Van Helsing, the famed Dracula hunter, has gotten time in the spotlight. Well, now we're getting a movie about Renfield, the psychiatric patient who gobbles spiders and flies while pining for his vampire master.
That guy always bugged me.
Renfield will be part of the new Universal Monsters Renaissance, along with Lee Whannell's soon-to-be-released Invisible Man, which looks amazing, and Paul Feig's in-development Dark Army. That's happening in the wake, of course, of the Dark Universe's unfortunate and unfair flameout. I know I'm in the minority. It'll be directed by Dexter Fletcher, who made Rocketman and also famously stepped in after Bryan Singer's departure to complete Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I really hope Harlan Williams gets a cameo.
I applaud the deep pull, but no. And I've told you like 5 or 6 times that that's a different movie. But who's counting?
Apparently you are.
Well, this take on the project is described as a comedic, lighthearted approach in the vein of Taika Waititi's vampire mockumentary, What We Do in the Shadows, in which Renfield realizes he's in a bad codependent relationship, an idea that was pitched by The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman and scripted by Ryan Ridley from Rick and Morty.
Isn't this a strange conversation for men who aren't crazy?
Now, it does sound more than a bit like FX's What We Do in the Shadows TV show. By the way, spoilers, at the end of season one, it is revealed that loyal vampire familiar human Guillermo, who is 100% in a bad codependent relationship with his master, is, spoilers, actually descended from Van Helsing, something the show will no doubt be exploring in its second season. No idea if the new movie is going that route, but if there's any justice in the world, we will learn Renfield's father was Artie Johnson.
Since the undead are returning, it's only natural that Drax's pal, sometimes enemy, Adam, who you probably best know as Frankenstein's monster, is getting another movie as well.
Not a prequel in which we follow the romance of the good doctor and Frau Blücher?
It was rumored back in July of 2016 that Javier Bardem was in talks to star as Frankenstein's monster in Universal's Dark Universe, and that would have been amazing, but of course that had to have the plug pulled because of Tom Cruise. Now, a new take on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein will be produced by James Wan from Aquaman, Saw, The Conjuring, Insidious, and his Atomic Monster!
Is that a euphemism?
We do not know what direction Wan will take this thing in, but we're still hoping to see the return of the bride in some way, shape, or form.
They have to have an Igor.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, call it a hunch.
Time to mark another thing off your "Are We in the Future?" checklist.
Oh, does that mean that flying motorcycle from yesterday actually goes?
No, but doctors have placed humans in suspended animation for the first time as part of a trial in the U.S. that aims to make it possible to fix traumatic injuries that would otherwise cause death.
Are you sure this just isn't a setup for Idiocracy 2?
No, we've been watching that on CNN all week. Samuel Tischerman at the University of Maryland School of Medicine said that his team of medics had placed at least one patient in suspended animation, calling it a little surreal when they first did it. He wouldn't reveal how many people had survived as a result.
Survive? Wait, how many people has he killed?
The technique, officially called emergency preservation and resuscitation, or EPR, is being carried out on people who arrive at the University of Maryland's Medical Center in Baltimore with an acute trauma, such as a gunshot or stab wound, and have had a cardiac arrest. Their heart will have stopped beating, and they will have lost more than half their blood. There are only minutes to operate, with a less than 5% chance that they would normally survive.
But thankfully, the resident and the good doctor were both on hand in New Amsterdam.
EPR involves rapidly cooling a person to around 10 to 15 degrees Celsius by replacing all of their blood with ice-cold saline.
Dr. Acula always leaves his shift with a doggy bag.
The patient's brain activity almost completely stops. They are then disconnected from the cooling system and their body, which would otherwise be classified as dead, however in perfect hibernation, is moved to the operating theater, where a surgical team then has 2 hours to fix the person's injuries before they are warmed up and their heart restarted. Tischerman says he hopes to be able to announce the full results of the trial by the end of 2020.
Oh, can they put me under now so I don't have to wait that long?
Tischerman's plan for the trial was that 10 people who receive EPR will be compared with 10 people who would have been eligible for the treatment, but for the fact that the correct team wasn't in the hospital at the time of admittance.
Worst lottery ever.
The trial was given the go-ahead by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The FDA made it exempt from needing patient consent, as the participants' injuries are likely to be fatal and there is no alternative treatment. The team had discussions with the local community and placed ads in newspapers describing the trial, pointing people to a website where they can opt out.
And on display at the local planning office at the bottom of a locked filing cabinet in a disused lavatory with a sign on the door saying, "Beware of the leopard," for the last 9 months.
Arian Lewis, director of the Division of Neurocritical Care at NYU Langone Health, said she thought it was important work, but that it was just first steps. We have to see whether it works, and then we can start to think about how and where we can use it.
I know a bounty hunter that could really use this tech.
And, of course, they also need to write a guide to help you if you're ever accidentally put under for 3 million years, with great info on dealing with the cats of that time.
As we go on break, we want to wish everyone a fantastic Thanksgiving, and we hope that you are ready for the bloodshed.
Well, that's good. There's a no politics agreement for the get-together.
No, I mean the real battle.
Black Friday, with long lines, people pushing and shoving, some folks getting killed in ways that make the Anchorman fight scenes look tame. So why not celebrate this holiday in a way that makes the most sense?
Watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
That would be perfect, but this year, why not pair Black Friday with killer robots and strange furniture store orgies?
Oh, I thought you wanted to do something different.
Shout Factory TV is serving up a 24-hour menu of Chopping Mall, the 86 Jim Wynorski-directed cult film that pits a group of late-night mall-goers against three smart-ass killer robots and Dick Miller being Dick Miller.
What, no South Park trilogy?
The Black Friday Marathon begins Friday, November 29th at 12 a.m. and continues for 24 hours. It can be viewed on ShoutFactoryTV.com, Shout Factory TV's Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android apps, and on Twitch, Samsung TV Plus, Zumo, and Stir.
What, no Dawn of the Dead?
Chopping Mall is also available for viewing on demand at ShoutFactoryTV.com, Shout Factory TV's Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, Android apps, and on various Shout Factory channels, including the ones I just mentioned.
What, no Phantom of the Mall?
If you are planning on doing the whole Black Friday thing, please be safe and please be kind to retail employees. I mean, they have truly witnessed the tortures of the damned.
As God is my witness, I thought robots were pacifists.
Thank you. Have a nice day. GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Quick note, Dick Miller is once again playing Walter Paisley in that movie, which means that guy really, really got around. Hey, why don't you come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, because, you know, GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us on Facebook and Twitter. Some of the ways. Okay, I didn't say any of the syllables at all that time, really. Ooh, it's been a long.
Every single syllable, but yeah, muffler, right?
I'm just looking forward to some deep-fried turkey, because if you make it any other way, you're not a true American. That's all I can say. Drop us a note, please. Tell us how wrong I am and what we should be doing with our lives and where Chad and Abby are. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, you can send a voicemail to the magic number of
510-GRD.
And we'll see you then.
What do you think? It stinks.
Man. Game over, man. Game over.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Out of a ditchy. Ciao. Aloha. Bug off.
You said you loved him.
That's right, Otto. Now here's a multiple choice question for you. A, Wanda was lying. B, Wanda was telling the truth. Which one are you going to pick?
What was the first one?
You told me you were not planning to see him.
I knew you would come along and it up. I was dealing with something delicate, Otto. I'm setting up a guy who's incredibly important to us, who's going to tell me where the loot is and if they're going to come and arrest you, and you come loping in like Rambo without a jockstrap and you dangle him at a fifth floor window. Now, was that smart?
Okay.
Was it shrewd? Was it good tactics, or was it stupid?
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people. I've known sheep that could outwit you. I've worn dresses with higher IQs, but you think you're an intellectual, don't you, ape?
Apes don't read philosophy.
Yes, they do, Otto. They just don't understand it. Now, let me correct you on a couple things, okay? Aristotle was not Belgian. Oh. The central message of Buddhism is not every man for himself.
You
mean... And the London Underground is not a political movement. Those are all mistakes, Otto. I looked them up.